Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome on in, folks. Second half of Sports Talk getting underway. Let me get that out my mouth. Tuesday, December 2nd, a little too chilly, maybe outside, trying to stay warm here in the studio. Me and Charlie Long bringing you till 7 p.m. this evening. That's when Mike Haas, voice of the Saints, will take over for the Saints Hour. His special guest tonight will be kicker Charlie Smith. Want to hear more from the Irishman after a big day for him, getting to make his NFL debut, connecting on a kick, and hopefully a lot more to come for the Saints kicker. I did see today, too, Charlie, that the former Saints kicker in Blake Groupie has a new home. The Indianapolis Colts have brought him in.
Yeah, they waived the money badger, Michael Badgley, with one of the weirdest names, nicknames in sports. So they bring in Groupie. The Colts are another team that's kind of cycled through kickers in recent years. So there's no ill will towards Blake Groupie. Yes, he kind of struggled at points this year, but there was a reason that he was a team captain. He was beloved by his teammates, it just didn't work out. And sometimes that happens. And with kickers, you have to jump from spot to spot, and we hope it works out for Blake, especially because he's on the Colts in the AFC, where the Saints don't need to really worry about him.
Good news for him and another team where he ends up, where they play most of their games in a dome.
Right. So good luck to Blake, as we had mentioned. Charlie Smith, going back to him, though, because Mike is going to have a very extensive interview with him coming up here in the 7 o'clock hour. Steve, did you see the video of like the pub in his hometown?
How can't you love that, right?
When he hit that 56-yard field goal and he just drilled it. And it would have probably been good from 65 or whatever. And the crowd in his hometown at that little local pub just went bananas. It was really, really cool to see. So I'm sure that Mike will ask him about that too.
Spreading that black and gold cheer and, you know, picking up more fans for the Who Dat Nation for sure there. Love to see that. And like Charlie said, just the scene at a local pub and just the joy and everyone for the fans there to see Charlie Smith connected on that kick. And like I'm saying, hopefully we see a lot more from that as well coming up this weekend. We'll be outside for his first matchup again in Tampa Bay. We'll keep an eye on what the weather's going to be like over there. Here it's a bit chilly, but that won't be too bad inside the Smoothie King Center this evening. But there will be that chill in the air, I guess you could say, Charlie, with news about Zion Williamson we got today, finding out that he's dealing with a grade 2 right hip abductor strain. He's already missed 11 games this season. He's going to be reevaluated in 3 weeks. That's according to ESPN's Sham Sharnia. And Williamson, he's missed 8 straight games in November because of a hamstring issue, and he recently missed 2 games after he returned from that injury because, well, the games were the second of back-to-backs, and they were trying to, you know, managing his load. But the latest injury with him, I saw some of the tweets from the pregame press conference from James Borrego, Charlie, and even coach doesn't know when this one really popped up. He just found out about it today.
It's the same thing every year. It's not just the injuries, it's the lack of communication. I mean, we got this, when was this? 2 hours ago at 4 o'clock?
Yep.
The Pelicans announced today that Zion Williamson has been diagnosed with a grade two right hip abductor strain. Medical imaging taken this morning confirmed the injury. Further updates will be provided as appropriate. When did this happen? Nobody knows. Steve, that is my biggest criticism, is the lack of communication with all of this. And it's the same thing with like Jordan Poole. We got an update about his injury in late November, and that it, you know, we would figure out more in a week. It's been past a week, and we still don't know when Jordan Poole is going to be back on the court for the Pelicans. It's the most frustrating part about this for the fans.
Murky communication.
But at the same time, my question to the Pelicans is, why are you bothering to sit them in back-to-backs? Because they've been doing that for 2 years now to limit the possibility of re-injuring himself. He just gets hurt anyways. You know what I mean? Like, that is unbelievably frustrating.
Right, the limiting him in the back-to-backs is clearly not an issue.
It's not working.
Right.
It's not working. So we'll talk with Ali Cosell here in a little bit so I can kind of cool down my Jets a little. I just get so annoyed with so much regarding what's happening with the Pelicans. And I don't know. There's a lot of hot calls to move on, and I cannot blame a single Pelican fan. This has been a frustrating era from start to finish that has not provided any type of – Zion still hasn't played a playoff game, Steve.
Correct.
And we're in year seven, and it's the same song and dance every single year. Why do you expect it to change? Nick Friedell has been telling us that for years, by the way.
The talent level and what we have seen when he is out there, I think, is what you latch onto and hope for the best. But, you know, that the health, the bugaboo, whatever you want to call it, is not changing for him.
My only concern at this point, Steve, does he have any value? Realistically. Because you continue to see this year after year after year. Does he have... I understand... Any Pelican fan that says, cut them loose.
Yeah.
Just get rid of them. I'm tired of it. I
do
understand.
Think there is some value there, but definitely you're not going to get what he should be worth.
If you can get anything, move on. That's where I'm at, Steve. I'm just tired of it.
We saw them get a decent package, I thought, back for Brandon Ingram at the time. But, I mean, look at B.I. this year right now.
Well, that's another similar situation there,
right,
where David Griffin didn't have any type of leverage in trading B.I. Everyone knew that they weren't going to re-sign him. So I don't think the Pelicans have any leverage in a potential Zion move, because you've seen how it's worked out here, or how it hasn't worked out here, for 7 years. So it's a day late and a dollar short. But like you kind of said, Steve, if you can get anything for him, and we'll ask Ali about that, kind of get his thoughts about, you know, what is Zion's value, if there is any at this point. And then just cut loose. I'm right there with the fans, man. It's been aggravating, to say the least.
Coming up, pregame coverage, 6:30, tip-off, 7 p.m. on WWL 870 AM. That's going to be Pels versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. We're going to come back with more, talking to Ali Cosell, NBA writer, breaking down all thing birds right after this. Stay tuned on WWL, folks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Steven Charlie here with you on Sports Talk, letting you folks know pregame coverage of Pelicans versus Minnesota T-Wolves going to be starting 6:30 on 870 a.m. Tip-off 7 p.m. to help us break all that down and all the news going on with the Pels. NBA writer covering the Pelicans, Ali Cosell, here on WWL. Ali, always appreciate the time, man. You staying warm tonight?
Definitely, Steve. Charlie just told me he was hot, so I told him just to literally go outside because it's cold out there.
Yeah, no, I need to, Ollie. I need to just take a break and go down to the elevator and go outside, just cool down a little bit because the Zion news has got me hot-headed.
I was going to say, Charlie's feeling hot because of the news today with Zion Williamson, not because of the temperature, but, I mean, what can we say more right now, Ollie? It's definitely frustrating. There was the belief that maybe this year could finally be different. He looked to be in shape, and now we're getting word of an adductor strain, and we're seeing from, I guess, Sham Sharney putting out there that they plan on reevaluating him in another 3 weeks.
Right, yeah, and then the Pelicans followed up with the similar news, right?
Yeah.
Stating that outcome. And if you look up grade two injuries to the abductor, it's a minimum of usually 3 to 6 weeks, right, your shelf. So it just depends on how a player heals. But again, when you take into consideration Zion's history, usually, right, he's always tended to return to the latter part of any timetable. So it's disappointing. Yeah, the question we always have, right, with Zion is if he was to get in really good shape, like the best shape possible, would that change potentially, right, his injury, propensity for injuries? And we got the answer, I thought, we got the first part down because this summer he got himself in really good shape. But again, started the season, he's already been injured several times, and what, we're just a quarter of the way through the season. So it doesn't feel like anything's different. That's probably the biggest disappointment. Doesn't sound like he can get over this injury hurdle, right?
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Every year, Ollie. I mean, we've talked to you for years now about the Pelicans, and you know, you buy into the hype, oh, Zion's looking good, and then all of a sudden injury issues just crop up. And it's, you know, typically it's been hamstrings most of the time, but now it's an adductor injury. I texted one of our listeners, is just like, he's going to be out for the rest of this year, talking about the calendar year, poor wording by me. We're not going to see him until past the New Year's. When they say reevaluated in 3 weeks, that's the number one issue for me, Ollie, and this is part of the rant that I went on in the first segment, is the communication aspect of this. The fact that James Borrego is coming out and basically saying like he had no idea.
Till this morning.
Pelican fans were blindsided by this. The lack of communication on injuries has been frustrating, to say the least, from the Pelicans.
It is. And I will say this isn't the first time that something like this has happened regarding Zion, right, where he'd played in the game and then they either had a day off or something along those lines. And then, of course, the injury report that comes out, he's not listed on. But then the following day, he's added to it, or suddenly there's injury news regarding Zion. So like I said, I remember it's happened at least once, maybe twice previously. So honestly, that boils down to me is that it being the player, right? Because I know the last instance that this had happened, he didn't notify Pelicans medical staff or whoever he needed to say, hey, something's bothering me right after the game. And I'm imagining something similar probably happened here, because that's the only way, honestly, any of this makes sense. Because I know the Pelicans, I know a lot of the people here, they do try and be transparent. So it's obviously when they got the injury news is what's the question mark. And I tend to think that it probably wasn't delivered to them until probably even maybe as late as this morning.
Yeah, it's just, once again, frustrating is an understatement. Ollie, we have a lot of people that we've been talking to, listeners, Pelican fans, that are just like cut loose, cut bait. I mean, at this point, we're in year seven, and it's the same thing every single year. But my response to it, and I want to get your thoughts on this, is just what type of value does Zion have on the market at this point? Because you've seen what he's done in New Orleans. You've seen the flashes when he's healthy, but obviously when he's healthy is the biggest stick up there because it just isn't consistent by any stretch of the imagination. Do you think there is a market for Zion if Joe Dumars and the Pelicans leadership were to just say, time to move on?
I do think there's a market for him. When I checked in religiously with everybody involved over the summer, he had a market. There were teams ready to trade for him, and that was coming off of, you know, last season's terrible disappointment, right, where he didn't play in half the games, anywhere close to it. So the reason teams are willing to take a bet, and I've talked to several people to get a really good definitive answer, is it's simply for this reason. If you can't draft or trade for generational talent, right, that's at the top of his game, or one that looks like he will get there, like, say, a Cooper Flagg from last year's draft, then you take a chance on a guy that has the potential but hasn't lived up to it, right? And the reason you do that is because you think you can find the problem, right? You can solve the problem. And for a lot of opposing teams, they think they probably could do a better job with Zion Williamson, right, especially from a medical standpoint and or just getting him to be more responsible, to be better with, say, the program, right? So if you're, say, a Pat Riley with Miami Heat and you know how every player you've brought in, how they fall in line, well, you'd probably be more apt to take a chance on, say, a Zion Williamson because of how your program really gets people to fall in line. If you think that's the only thing or one of the biggest things holding Zion back, then of course you take that chance because generational talents aren't out there. There's not too many of them out there. So that's why you take a chance on a guy like that. And I think some team probably would if the Pelicans do, say, put him on the block.
Well, we know no Zion for a while, but who's available tonight? I know there were a few question marks going into this game, Ali, but who's in and who's out for this evening that you know of?
Yeah, so this morning, Eve, Missy, and Zion were questionable. But, of course, we learned the Zion news a couple hours after the initial news. But Eve, Missy ruled out for tonight, and that's okay. Not a surprise to me, guys. He twists his ankle badly in that Warriors game, and I was shocked he played against the Lakers the following day. So him to be out tonight, not surprised there. But Pelicans at least do have Trey Murphy back tonight. Jordan Hawkins, who's also overcome an illness over this past weekend, he'll be playing too.
When you look at the job James Borrego's done so far, how do you feel that the front office is looking at him? Is there a chance that he would be a contender to end up the next head coach, the full-time head coach of this team?
I think there's definitely a chance, but I wouldn't say the odds are better than, say, 50-50.
Gotcha.
We already heard the rumors out there. I've talked to some people. It seems like, you know, just like the way the new front office led by Joe Dumars and Troy Weaver want to bring in certain players that they like, I think I can definitely imagine the same being with the head coach, right? So James Borrego, for him in order to stick around, would really have to do a magnificent job, right? Along the lines of turning this team completely around, probably pushing for the play-in tournament, if not getting in entirely. But I've heard the biggest thing is if he could prove to build a top 10 offense with this team, especially say around Jeremiah Fears and Derek Queen, that would give him a leg up. But otherwise, I expect that he'll probably be replaced over the summer.
You know, Ali, when I was looking at the Pelicans' schedule, we all knew that November was going to be rough, and they missed out on a couple opportunities, especially kind of late in the month. The game against the Warriors stands out to me. The game specifically against the Grizzlies, where you just couldn't really close out that Memphis team at home. A couple missed opportunities, but you kind of look ahead. You have the Nets game coming up in about a week from now. You play the Bulls again, who you had just beaten. You play the Trailblazers, the Pacers, the Mavericks again, who you've already split with this year. There's some opportunities to pick up some wins, but my question to you is at this point, you know, a 3-18 hole that you're in, you got to do more than just pick up a couple wins here and there. You got to be able to go on a run if you want to have any semblance of a hope of, like you had mentioned, getting back into that quote-unquote play-in conversation.
Yeah, you would at least have to play, you think, 500 ball and then hope to get lucky for that 10th spot, which does feel attainable. Right. I mean, when you look at the playing standings, yeah, it seems like 7 and 8, you're going to have to be better than 500. But after that, you know, it kind of becomes a toss up. So it becomes injury luck at that point for a lot of teams still vying for one of those two spots, but also just playing at least mediocre basketball, at least give yourself a chance. So what I'm looking for, guys, honestly, is the Pelicans are going to have kind of a softer part of the schedule thanks to this tournament, in-season tournament that the NBA's got going on. So the Pelicans will play two games in roughly about 10 days. That gives James Borrego a chance to get these guys in practice. That gives them a chance to also work with the young guys, running more of the offense, getting just everybody more comfortable, and doing it without Zion. Plus, you get to work, going to your point, Charlie, about late-game execution, you get to finally work on those things. I've been told that the Pelicans have had like 3 practices to do anything since James Borrego was installed in. Late game situations are one of those things that coaches like to go over, and he hasn't really had a chance yet.
It's really funny because it feels like the Saints and the Pelicans are working with opposite issues, where the Pelicans have gotten off to good starts at times throughout the season. Every Pelican fan knows exactly what I'm about to say. The dreaded third quarter. You come out of halftime and you just get bludgeoned, and you either blow a big lead or, you know, a game that's tight ends up becoming a blowout. I mean, what can you really do with that, though, Ali, other than, you know, the Pelicans coaching staff knows that it's been a consistent issue, and it hasn't just been under Borrego, it was under Willie Green as well for years here. How can they really get that fixed and figured out? Because if you can just get that one bugaboo quarter off your back, you might be able to pick up some wins here and there.
Yeah. To your point, I think they've won 3 of the last 4 games of the third quarters. Maybe it's all 4. It's something along those lines where actually it's just flown under the radar, because at some point they've been walloped by the other team, right? But yeah, to your point, like over the first 16, 17 games, they only had won 2 third quarters, I remember looking up, and it was by just like a point and 2 points. So it's consistently been a problem. You've been a fan of this team, you know that. So I think, honestly, where you go to with something like this, it's just a player's mentality. It's all about how you come out of the third quarter. Do you still have that fire in your belly, say, when you do the start of the game or when it's to come down the last 5 minutes of a close game? Can you summon your best and play at your best with the focus, intentions, all that thing? And that's what we haven't seen, I think, consistently, right? When you have spotty leadership, and you got to think Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, their availability over the last handful of years has been just very spotty, so they haven't been really out there to lead. That's what you kind of look to, is those type of guys, those leaders that bring you out of a halftime, set the tone for you. And since they haven't had that, I think that's been the biggest reason why they failed, like coming out in third quarter. So if you get that part figured out, then I think that's when you finally can see some actual change in the third quarter mentalities.
Ollie, curious, do you think there's anything to the rumor mill swirling around Jonathan Kuminga of the Golden State Warriors? I know the Pelicans have been mentioned as a potential trade partner with them.
Yeah, I think what the Warriors are doing is, honestly, they're trying to find any kind of home for Kuminga, and you can't blame them.
Yeah.
So they probably would, right, even maybe want to take a chance on Zion. But as far as the Pelicans, I just can't imagine it. He's another guy that's a non-shooter. And I think if you're going to have to choose between Zion and Queen, which seems easy on paper to us, but it can only be one of those type of players, right? Since Kuminga doesn't really space the floor for you, I don't see Joe Dumars, Troy Weaver being interested in that type of player to put next to Derek Queen, no.
Looking at the matchup, I guess tonight and also Thursday, you got back-to-back games in the Smoothie King Center hosting Minnesota. Obviously, you know, Ant-Man and a lot more other problems on this T-Wolves squad. What do you see the best way to attack, I guess, Minnesota for this Pels unit?
Yeah, they're 12-8, but get this. If you look at the top 6-7 players in terms of games played, almost nobody's missed a game, right? So they've had availability.
Right.
Here's their weakness. It's closing out games. They've had some terrible losses so far this year. So if the Pelicans could somehow find a way to summon the best game plan, energy, focus, and what, say, a 10, maybe 12-point deficit, make it a close game down the stretch, this Minnesota team's beatable because they have fallen apart down the stretch way too many times this year. That's when you can beat this team.
Ollie, always appreciate your time, man, and hopefully we can get into the win column tonight because I'm sure sick of talking about losses and injuries.
Yeah, I'm with you, Steve. Basketball season's 82 games, right? Saints is much less, so it's easier to stomach, I feel like, losses. But basketball, boy, you can get on a run of these losing streaks, and seems like it'll never end. So, yeah, we need just some wins. Get started at some point.
Let's get one tonight, Ollie. Thank you so much, man.
Yep.
Thanks, Ollie.
Ollie Cosell, NBA writer covering the Pelicans, always giving us great info there. Pelicans basketball taking on the T-Wolves coming up 7 p.m. on 870 a.m. Meanwhile, on 105.3 FM and the Odyssey app, you'll hear the Saints Hour with the voice of the Saints, Mike Hawes, and his special guest this week is kicker Charlie Smith. Taking a break. We'll be back more of Sports Talk right after this. Stay tuned on WWL, folks. WWL is your home for the New Orleans Pelicans, folks. The Pels are taking on the Minnesota T-Wolves tonight in the Smoothie King Center. You can catch all the excitement on the big 870 WWL AM pregame coverage going on there right now with tip-off at 7 p.m. Meanwhile, the biggest news, which you heard yesterday all day on WWL as well as his introductory press conference, is the fact that Lane Kiffin, the Lane plane, has landed in New Orleans. A big part of that, thanks to LSU Athletic Director Virge Ausberry, who talked about what it took to get Lane Kiffin into Baton Rouge. And here's a little bit, a snippet at least, of what Virge Ausberry had to say after getting Kiffin.
After we made the transition, coaches, we had already been talking about, I learned from Mark Emery that once you hire a coach, you start looking for your next coach, start looking at football and observing people. We had a list put together and said, you know, who's the top guys out there, who we could get, what made sense to us. And Lane name kept popping up. We said, you know what, let's take a shot at him and make some connections, and you know, I want to get to know him a little bit. So I contacted guys like Boogie McFarlane, Ryan Clark, Marcus Spears. You know, Boogie played for his father, so he watched Lane. They grew up in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and get a better feel. And, you know, I also talked to a lot of coaches and a lot of former coaches who worked here, as you know, and got a better feel about who the guy is. You know, do we want him at LSU? Is he the right fit for LSU? And that's the thing, the fit here at LSU. So through that process and get all that going on, I tell people football coaches, they're different, they're like student athletes. They don't follow the meeting and all those potential things that get you thrown off. And I worried about that. Some of my fans worried about that more. But I was like, let's stay positive. Let's move forward. Let's get the best guy we could get. And we circled him. And like I said, we met. It was a short meeting, about an hour and 20 minutes. In fact, it was a surprise when I called him and said, come pick us up. They were like, y'all finished already? I said, yeah, we finished already. It wasn't a 3 or 4 hour meeting. You don't ask a coach like that. Skip Berman taught me that. Nick Saban taught me that. You don't ask great coaches, you know, what you going to do on 3rd and 8? Tell me about your offensive game plan. Tell me about your defense. Tell me about who you're going to hire here. It's like, what you need to be successful. We want you to be our coach here. What you expect from me as athletic director? What you expect from LSU? And do you want to be at LSU? And that was pretty much the conversation.
Where was that?
Interview you in a way, too?
Yes, they interviewed me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We met in a place. We flew somewhere, and we had a meeting. We landed, and we flew out.
Okay. How did you handle all this? You were put in a very big spot to hire a football coach as your first assignment as the athletic director. Was there stress? Was there any anxiety? Were you calm? How did you handle it?
I exercise a lot. I run a lot, like 5 miles, 6 miles a day. No, but I've been through this before with Coach Saban. I've been through this with Les Miles. And remember, Scott wrote an article about when Coach was hiring Les Miles and Coach Burton was AD here, was going through the process. I just had to tell him, I said, hey, hiring a football coach at LSU is the biggest thing in the state of Louisiana. It's the biggest job. I said, you hired the wrong one, Coach Burtman. Of all your national championships, all your great baseball program, that's going to be your legacy. So I thought about, this would be my legacy at LSU, and that I have to get the right person to be the head coach of LSU. So no, I was really relaxed. I've done this before. I've done this 5 times already. Now I'm sitting in the chair. It's a little different than being one of the associates working along with it. So yeah, it was a little pressure at times, and you felt a little times. And my thing was making sure everybody stayed quiet. You know, there was a lot of leaks, a lot of people we talked to, some things got out. Just keeping everybody quiet, because I knew, like you said, it's a bit of a tough situation. He loved that place, he loved that place. And we were thinking about that timeline also. But I got kind of nervous the other night when Auburn tied Alabama in that game. Like, wow, talking about this championship game now, so it might push us back a week. But we were comfortable, and he was comfortable with me, and we had a good relationship. And he and I would just talk about normal things, and just talk about places. And you said, his Layla came down here, and some of his family, they have to really see Baton Rouge. That was one of the big things because you know her father was All-American at University of Florida and coached at Florida, great NFL player. And those are the things that we were a little afraid of, like you know. That's that pool of Gainesville. And then she came to Baton Rouge, she's like, wow, I really like this place.
How soon after you guys let Brian go did you first reach out to his representatives?
I think about, we let Brian go. Scott was still AD at the time, and there was some transition going on then. But as soon as things got clear and they told me I was AD and had to go find a football coach, that was the call. And I knew pretty much all the agents of all the people we contacted. So we were talking a lot with all the different agencies to find out who's the right guy, the right fit. You know, you go over the list and you keep going over the list, keep going over the list, keep coming back to him. You go over the list another time, say, this guy's a good coach. He watched a lot of football games, so he kept coming back to him. I kept watching his team, how he plays, how he scores, what he does on offense. He's a guy that's a talent that not many people have. Steve Spurrier had this talent. Nick Saban has this talent. Few guys have. Skip Berman has this talent where they can look at a game and say, do this right now. Run this play right now. Not many guys can do that. And I watched his games. I studied his games in film. I watched a lot of film on these guys, see what they do, how they prepare. And when I look at him, I'm like, wow, this guy here knows how to call a football game. That was a hard part. That was a hard part a little bit. You know, we're looking at that time. The thing is, you know, if we get to the playoffs and they let him cook, we told him, we did tell him this here, if you get to the playoffs, you coach your team. We had no problems with that at all. So LSU was not part of this where we didn't want him to coach. We told him that if you get to the playoffs, please coach your team. He said, I'll make my announcement early, fine with that. Let us know you're coming to LSU. Go coach your team. Go coach Ole Miss. It's great. It's great publicity for our institution. You have a coach out there coaching in the playoffs, playing for the national championship. That's going to be the next head coach of LSU. So we had no problems with that point.
Vern talked about how important it was for him to have financial backing for the roster, the players. What is LSU's plan going to be to do that?
It's a great plan. It's great numbers and great supporters. But a guy like Lane Kiffin, you'd be surprised the calls we got from people who want to support this program and that area. And a lot of people who hadn't supported us before, now with Lane here, there's a lot of excitement to get behind him and support him. A lot of our people who have been previously donors to
that part, they want to up their donations to make sure that we get the best players in.
You've been in here for a long time for a lot of different searches. It is rare to point out one guy and get him, right? I mean, how many times have you gotten the number one target, right?
You know, it's very hard, but you never have really a number one target back in those previous searches. There's a lot of people you think your number one target, they might be using for money at their schools, they're not going to leave. And then you look at the landscape. There's not many guys out there. And you see what happened lately. And there were so many jobs open this year. That was the other thing we had a problem. We look at how many jobs are open. And we knew the good thing about it, everybody was waiting for LSU. We were the standard bearer. We were the program that everybody know. Let's wait till LSU. And once LSU falls, then everybody knows what they're doing. And that would happen if you notice. LSU, people, LSU is one of the best jobs in the country. It is the best job in the country. You know, LSU, Georgia, and Ohio State. Those are the three top jobs. And that's what I told Coach Kiff when I met with him. I said, look, you did just as good as you could at Ole Miss. You did very, very well. But Ole Miss and Kentucky are the only two schools in SEC that hadn't been to the SEC championship game. And Oklahoma probably is new to the conference. But I said, you want to get to the championship game and compete and win that national championship, this is what you got to do. I also sent him a message. I was teasing him a little bit. When Oregon beat, I think, USC, they jumped him in the CFP. I said, teams don't jump LSU.
That was great stuff from LSU Athletic Director Virg Ausberry talking about what it took to land Lane Kiffin at LSU. We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk, come back with more as we wrap things up. Getting ready for the Saints Hour coming up 7 p.m. right here on WWL. Folks, it is time to light up the season. Join WWL for day one of the Manning Family Children's Radiothon. We'll be there tomorrow, 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. We're so blessed to have a world-class hospital that provides the best care possible for children right here in our own backyard. They help so many of our kids and families when they need them most. And now it's time to give thanks and raise critical funds, knowing every dollar stays right here at home. Help us help the kids, folks. Join WWL day one of the Manning Family Children's Radiothon. That's presented by the Ray and Jessica Brandt Family Foundation. Our whole crew's going to be participating. That's Tommy, Newell, and Dave Cohen, Scoot and Ian, also Sports Talk with me, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, also featuring Archie Manning and Deuce McAllister, plus call-ins from Eli and Cooper Manning. Come out, see us. We'll be there tomorrow, 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. because giving feels awesome, folks. Coming up next, we're going to give you the Saints Hour with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, coming up right here, WWL 105.3 FM and the Odyssey app. Who dat?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.